of Tehran, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is about to give a speech on that occasion. Of course, people chanting slogans, welcoming the leader to the site. They're expecting at any moment for the speech of the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran to begin his speech. Let's go there live.
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Praise be upon God, the Lord of both worlds. May peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad. And may peace be upon Prophet Muhammad's progeny and his household. May God's gratitudes be upon the soul of the late Imam Khomeini and the martyrs of the Islamic Revolution. May their soul rest in peace. Today, once again, the Iranian nation is marking the anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini's demise and keeping his memory. And they are honoring the anniversary of his passing away, and continuing to follow Imam's path and his ideals. Every year, the 14th of Khordad in the Persian calendar is an opportunity in order to actually explain part of the life of the late Imam Khomeini and to explain his ideals and way of thought. This year, today has fallen on the first day of the Rajab month in the lunar calendar. The Rajab month is a month of God's blessing and divine blessing. And Prophet Muhammad, there's a saying attributed to Prophet Muhammad, which says that the passage of the faithful toward the month of Ramadan is the month of Ramadan and Shaban, of course, which is another month in the lunar calendar year. This year, the anniversary of the passing away of the Imam Khomeini has also coincided with another key event, and that is the Islamic awakening. It is an event, an epic, which the late Imam expected it to happen, and he was longing for it to happen, this Islamic awakening. And the late Imam Khomeini had also predicted this great event, the Islamic awakening. the awakening of Muslim nations. He had predicted it. And God Almighty had actually gave us the honor, and this prediction came true as the collapse of the former Soviet Union was also predicted by late Imam Khomeini, and it came true as well. Today, my comments revolve on two subjects. I hope I will be able to explain them in the brief, in the short time that I have. The first part concerns a review of the great lesson that we have learned from the great Imam Khomeini, a review of the of the school of thought pertaining to our Imam, which is we can say it is the resource for the Iranian nation. It is an asset for the Iranian nation. The Iranian nation has relied on this resource, and they have this resource available, and with reliance on this resource, the Iranian nation has been able to surmount all hardly negotiable hurdles which have existed on its way. And the other part of my lecture concerns a look at the regional issues. As for the school of thought of Imam Khomeini, this is something that the great Iranian nation is very well aware of, that the Iranian people actually were very attached to Imam Khomeini, and this attachment was not only one which concerns affection and kindness and all that, although in terms of affection and all that, the Iranian nation was very attached to Imam Khomeini in this regard. But it's not all that. And the point is that the Iranian nation's attachment to Imam Khomeini meant that they had accepted his school of thought as their right path, as the right path for the people's movement, as a general move which the Iranian nation was following. First, it was a practical and theoretical guide which leads the country and the nation towards prosperity and progress and justice. And in practice, over the past 32 years, this has been the case and nothing else. It means anywhere that we had the honor to actually act upon the guidelines of the late Imam Khomeini, and anywhere we acted upon his advice, anywhere we could follow following the footsteps of late Imam Khomeini, we had a lot of blessings afterwards. With this is the way that people look at the Imam's line, and that's and his heritage, of course, his legacy. Over the past 30 years, the Iranian nation, they have been able to stand up to the most serious plots, the plots hatched against the Iranian nation. There were military plots, security plots, economic plots, the sanctions, the extensive sanctions that have been imposed on the Iranian nation. We have been under sanctions for the past 30 years. Propaganda campaigns, plots, the extensive media empire and propaganda campaigns against the Iranian nation, they have been imposed on the Iranian nation, and there are still at work political conspiracies. The Iranian nation has stood up to all these plots and conspiracies thanks to Imam Khomeini's school of thought and line. Imam Khomeini's school of thought is a complete package. It is a package which includes several dimensions, and these dimensions should be considered altogether. Two key dimensions to Imam's school of thought can be seen. That is, first, the spirituality dimension and the mentality, actually, and wisdom. Spirituality and wisdom. Spirituality means the late Imam Khomeini, actually, he only based on material elements. He did not follow his path and continue his move only based on material things. He was a spiritual figure. He was in contact with, actually, he prayed a lot. He was a man of spirituality. He was very down to earth. He worshipped God and all that. And he believed that in divine assistance. He pinned his hope in God Almighty. And the other dimension, wisdom, he actually used his wisdom and prudence and thoughts and calculations. And this is very important, and it is one of the highlights of Imam's highlights. And I will talk about each dimension. And there is a third dimension, of course, which is similar to spirituality and wisdom. And like both of them, like the other two, it has emanated from Islam as well. Imam's wisdom and spirituality both stem from Islam. They are Islamic ones. And this dimension, too, actually is Quranic and religious oriented, and that is justice. These dimensions should be regarded altogether, should be viewed altogether. Just focusing on one of these dimensions, and regardless of other dimensions, will lead the society to the wrong direction, to the wrong path. This package, we can call it, this complete package is the ideological legacy of Imam Khomeini. The late Imam Khomeini, in his behavior, of course, he both cared for wisdom and also spirituality, and wholeheartedly he paid attention to justice. The manifestation of Imam's wisdom, okay, I will tell you a few examples of that. The first example of that is the choosing of democracy for our political establishment, for Iran's political establishment. Selection, actually the relying on popular vote, selection of democracy was one of the manifestations, one of the clear manifestations of Imam's wisdom, and of based on the on his school of thought, of course. In a country which for centuries had been under rules, individual rules, rules by people, individual people, and even after the constitutionalism era, where we had the constitutionalism and all that, and apparently it seemed like law was ruling the nation, but in practice we were witnessing despotism during the Pahlavi era. The despotism during the Pahlavi era was much more severe than the previous eras. In a country with such a background, Imam Khomeini made it possible to actually introduce the participation of people and introduce popular elections, and he managed to institutionalize this fact and this. Our people had never tasted free elections, only in very few and short periods of time during the constitutionalism era. In such a country and in such an atmosphere, Imam Khomeini, from the very first steps that he took, he institutionalized free elections in the country. You have heard time and again that during the past, over the past 32 years, around there have been 32 or 33 elections in our country. 32 or 33 elections have been held, free elections, and people have participated in the elections freely and cast their ballots. And these elections have concerned parliamentary elections, presidential elections, council elections, and others. This is the most obvious manifestation of Imam's wisdom. Another example of Imam Khomeini's wisdom and his reliance on wisdom and prudence was that he was very stubborn in dealing with the enemy. The enemy did not trust the enemy. After he recognized the enemy, and also he recognized the true enemies of our revolution, he stood up to the enemy like a hard rock. And exactly, there were some people, of course, and there are still some individuals, they believe that wisdom sometimes instructs you to actually back off and back down in the face of enemy. However, Imam acted otherwise. Exactly, Imam Khomeini's wisdom and prudence was against this. He came to the conclusion that one should not submit to the enemy and should not back down in the face of enemy and should not succumb to the enemy, as any submission to the enemy will be to the enemy's advantage. The enemy shows no mercy when he sees that the other side is stepping back. If a nation steps back in the face of enemies, it means the enemy is taking one step forward. This is one of the examples of Imam Khomeini's wisdom. Another example of Imam's wisdom was that he actually instilled a sense of self-reliance in the nation, the Iranian nation, our nation, which since the time when the West began its domination, that is, since the beginning of the 19th century, when the West gained a foothold in Iran, the Iranian nation had been constantly, actually, they had been they had been under the domination of the West and the Western lackeys at that time. The Iranian nation had been humiliated by the West. They had been trying to make the Iranian nation believe that the Iranians cannot make scientific progress. cannot work hard, cannot stand on its own feet. They were trying to make Iranians believe that. Constantly, time and again, the Pahlavi regime rulers, and before that, of course, the rulers before the Pahlavi regime, they constantly humiliated the Iranian nation, and they pretended that if there is any progress in the country, if any achievement is to be done, it has to be done by the West, and the Iranian nation cannot do it on its own. Such a nation, Imam Khomeini actually instilled a spirit of self-reliance in such a nation, and this was a turning point. This was a turning point for Iranian nation. Our progress, our scientific industrial development and progress, and our progress in different areas, all of them actually, we owe this progress to this self-reliance. Today, the younger generation, Iranian industrialists, younger generation politicians, actually, preachers, all of them, they feel that they are capable. The slogan, "We Can," this was a slogan that Imam Khomeini actually instilled in the heart of the Iranian nation. This is one of the great manifestations of Imam Khomeini's wisdom. Another manifestation was the drawing up of the constitution, the assembly of experts were elected through popular vote, and Imam Khomeini instructed the assembly of experts to draw up the constitution, and the ones who draw up the constitution, they had been elected through popular, those who draw up the constitution had been elected through popular vote, and they were not designated by Imam, they were elected through popular vote, and those experts, elected through popular vote, they drew up the constitution, the Iranian constitution, and again the same constitution was put to a referendum. And this is another manifestation of Imam Khomeini's wisdom. You see, the pillars of the establishment was reinforced through this wisdom, both in terms of, both legally, politically, socially, and also in terms of scientific progress and development. Late Imam Khomeini set and based on this foundation, we can actually found the great Islamic civilization. And among the issues which are the manifestations of Imam Khomeini's wisdom was that Imam Khomeini made people understand that they are the owner of this country. They are the owners of this country. This was something that during the despotic regimes which were dominating Iran, they said the same thing. They say that the country has an owner, but by owners they meant dictators and despots which were ruling the country. But Imam Khomeini made people understand that the owners, the real owners of the country, are people themselves. The spirituality manifestation of Imam Khomeini, the first and foremost, was his own spirituality and faith in God. Imam Khomeini did whatever he did for God's sake only from the very beginning, whatever he felt that it is a divine duty actually on his shoulder. He did it. And he actually spared no effort in this field from the very beginning of his struggles. Actually, in 1341, the Iranian calendar, that was actually the Imam Khomeini's thought. And Imam Khomeini gave this lesson to the both authorities and the people, that what is important is duty, divine duty, to carry out our duty. And the result is in God's hands. But we have a duty. We must carry out the duty. This was another manifestation of Imam Khomeini's spirituality, the purity of thought. He did not say anything to just to praise someone, for the sake to praise anybody. Whatever he did was for God's sake. And well, of course, whatever Imam Khomeini did for God's sake, God Almighty actually gave his blessings to it, and his efforts were fruitful. Imam Khomeini urged authorities, officials, he urged us to work for the sake of God, and he told us to rely on God, to trust in God, to be hopeful of God's blessings, and to work for God only for God's sake. He himself actually was a very down-to-earth figure. He was a spiritual figure. He prayed God. He sought help from God. He worshipped God during the month of Ramadan. Actually, time and again, I myself felt it time and again, that at the end of the month of Ramadan, you know, when you saw Imam Khomeini, it was pretty obvious that he had become more spiritual, and he used every opportunity in life to get closer to God, to further purify himself. That was what Imam Khomeini did, and he also urged others to follow suit. And he said that here, actually, that the whole world is where God is present, and the whole world is where God's signs are manifested. And he urged everybody to get close to God, to worship God. Imam Khomeini observed moralities and moral principles, and he also urged others to observe morality. An important part of spirituality in Islam is morality, abstinence from sins, not backbiting, from abstinence from libel, and abstaining from separating people from one another, the late Imam Khomeini. These were the things that Imam Khomeini observed, all of them, and he also enjoined all these things on people. He urged us not to become proud and not to see ourselves above the people, not to consider ourselves above criticism, to be open to criticism. And he urged us not to consider that we have no faults. We are not impeccable. No, this was something that Imam Khomeini had urged all authorities, and the top authorities, senior parties. We have to be open to criticism. If they find fault with us, if they criticize us, we have to be open to it. And Imam Khomeini himself was like that. In his memos, in his handwriting, in his memorandums, and also in his comments, Imam Khomeini said time and again that, for example, I made a mistake in that issue. Imam Khomeini confessed that, and he said that time and again that he had made mistakes. You see, you have to be very magnanimous to be confessing to your mistakes. So this is very important, that this was a reflection, a manifestation of Imam's spirituality. This is one of the key dimensions of the lessons that we have learned from Imam Khomeini. And the justice, the dimension of justice, it is also manifested in Imam's school of thought. It is very prominent. Although, in one sense, justice could be part of wisdom. I mean, justice is part of spirituality and wisdom. However, the prominence of justice dimension in Imam's school of thought, we can consider it as a third dimension. It is very prominent. From the very beginning of the Islamic Revolution's victory, Imam Khomeini stressed, actually put a stress on paying attention to the deprived, to the poor classes of the society. He actually he used the word barefooted people, which meant deprived people, barefooted hut dwellers, as Imam said. Imam Khomeini urged officials to reach out to the needy. He urged officials to actually to abstain from aristocracy. This was one of the things that Imam Khomeini urged the officials. We should not forget that. The scourge of any top position of in a democratic system, in a system which is based on democracy, one of the scourges is that officials think about their own personal welfare, think about accumulating wealth for themselves. This is a scourge. And that they, if they begin to think about to lead and actually to think about aristocracy and think about leading a luxurious life, this is a scourge. And Imam Khomeini totally abstained from this, and he time and again urged Iranian officials not to turn to a luxurious life and not to accumulate wealth and all that. He actually called on the people to be in close contact with the people, to have the common touch. In those times, he urged us officials, authorities, to get close to the people, to have contact with the people, to be among the people. He said that services should be rendered to cities and villages across the countries, even remote areas. And he said that services should be offered to all areas, to remote areas across the country. This is the manifestation of Imam's justice. Imam Khomeini said that officials should be from among the people, should be chosen from among the people. Any actually cronyism, nepotism, Imam Khomeini negated all that. And Imam Khomeini was against all nepotism and cronyism and favoritism and all those things. During the Qajar and Pahlavi eras, this was the scourge that we faced during those eras. And Imam Khomeini was very sensitive about that, about nepotism, cronyism. Sometimes when he wanted to praise an official, Imam Khomeini said he is from among the people. Imam Khomeini said the reliance on wealth and power in order to secure a position, this is one of the great dangers. This, in Imam's view, of course, he considered it a great danger. These are some of the dimensions of Imam's school of thought. Brothers and sisters, the great Iranian nation, this school has guided us over the past 32 years and has actually saved us from dangerous precipices. It has upgraded the level of our both national dignity and international pride. Thanks to stepping in the footsteps, following in the footsteps of Iran's line, the country has been able to move forward towards its ideals. We need to observe that. However, we need to consider that altogether. If someone or wants to, in the name of wisdom, if it wants to actually get to distance itself from Islamic values, this is deviation. If anybody wants to, under the pretext of wisdom, if wants to get away from piety and faith in God against the enemy, if it wants to prepare the ground for dependency on the enemy, this is deviation. Wisdom does not, the true wisdom, the wisdom defined in Imam Khomeini's school of thought, that kind of wisdom does not mean that we should actually remain, we should neglect enemies' plots, we should neglect schemes hatched by the enemy, and we trust the enemy. No. Such a wisdom negates all this. We shouldn't back down in the face of enemy. The more you back down in the face of the enemy, the more you lose your great mentality and mental resource. Also, if in the name of justice and in the name of being revolutionary, you step actually morality underfoot, again you have deviated from Imam's path. If in the name of being a revolutionary and the name of justice, one actually, if to our brothers, our Iranian nation, the people who have this, who are against our ideology, and but we know that they believe in Islam, in the establishment, in principle. If there are some people, if we insult such people and we assault them, this is again deviation from Imam's path. If we want to, in the name of being revolutionary and in the name of the revolution, if we want to actually jeopardize security in the society, again, we are deviating from Imam's path. In our country, there are different viewpoints. If we attribute a criminal title to a movement, to some comments, and if this, of course, we talk about this criminal title and actually to attaching. I mean, the point is that if we want to criminalize an act, which, you see, there is a person who is not actually betraying the country. Maybe there is an individual who is not acting against the national security. There is somebody who is not obeying the enemy, but he is against our political taste. Well, we cannot deny him security and justice. This is something that Quran orders us. The Holy Quran says, "Your opposition to a viewpoint should not make you forget justice. Even about opponents, even justice should go for the opponents. This justice is closer to piety." Do not think that piety means that one should trample your opponents underfoot. No. Justice is in line with piety. Everybody should remain vigilant. This dimension too should not overshadow other dimensions, the spirituality dimension as well. We favor spirituality, that is, we actually thank God, we worship God, we pray God, and thank God the atmosphere in our society is brimful with spirituality. And during the holy month of Ramadan, in our country, you see, everything is different. And our younger generation, our youth, they take part in worshiping meetings, actually, in ceremonies to pray God. They make their presence felt in such spiritual ceremonies. And in the coming days, we have actually i'tikaf, which means going in resort to pray God only. We have this ceremony ahead, and in Qom's theology school, during the half month Rajab in the lunar calendar, in which i'tikaf or going in resort to pray God is held. You see, in Qom's theology school, only a handful of people used to go in resort and pray God during that specific period in the past. However, nowadays in our universities, even in universities, girls and boys, our students, thousands of people take part in this spiritual ceremony in the mosques of universities. They actually lock themselves in for 3 days and only pray God. Great mosques, ceremony, praying sites, all of them. These are manifestations of spirituality. Our country is brimful with spirituality. However, our spirituality is in line with a sense of responsibility. This spirituality should not keep us from our revolutionary responsibilities, but it should help it. Those people who, with reliance on religiosity, and just they use the religion as a pretext, those people who try to actually distance the society and people from society and keep the younger generation from taking part in the political events in the country, they are making a mistake. They have deviated from the path. Such individuals actually have deviated. And here, in the holy shrine of the late Imam Khomeini, and with the souls of martyrs who are lying there in the Behej Zahra Cemetery next to Imam Khomeini's mausoleum here, I announce here that the Iranian nation has followed in the footsteps of Imam Khomeini, and the Iranian nation has maintained Imam Khomeini's ideals. And I can say that the Iranian revolutionary youth today, in terms of spirituality, if they are not better, they are not worse than them at the beginning of the revolution. The people
خیلی ممنون و متشکرم.
Thank you very much. I, from the bottom of my heart, I announce here, and I do believe that the best role has been played by the people. They have kept the revolutionary ideals, and they are standing by these ideals. And it was the people who thwarted enemies' plots. I don't want to actually go into details about it. We are short of time, and now maybe it's not an appropriate time to talk about it. However, very briefly, I say that our enemies, they believed that with the passing away of Imam Khomeini, actually that the passing away of Imam Khomeini could set the stage for the collapse of this establishment. They believed with the demise of Imam Khomeini, his path, as his ideals will get fainted, and all that. As you saw the funeral of Imam Khomeini, as you saw the affections, the expression of the feelings that people showed in support of what the experts said, people disheartened the enemy. My analysis is that at that time the enemy actually hatched a 10-year plot. Of course, this is not information that I have, but this is my analysis based on the signs. 10 years later, the enemy hoped that their schemes will bear fruit. In 1378, the Iranian calendar year, when those events took place, and those who actually thwarted these plots, the 23rd of Tir, 1378, the Iranian calendar, people took to those streets and thwarted enemy plots. A conspiracy which the enemy had been plotting for years, people foiled that conspiracy in one day. The second wave, the second time, was again the enemy made another 10-year, hatched another 10-year plot until 1388, 2 years ago, that is. The enemy was of the conviction that they could actually make their plot work. They were focusing on targeting people who were loyal to the people. They were thinking that they could take advantage of that. And we had those events in 1388, the Iranian calendar. And they created sort of unrest in Tehran only for 2 or 3 months. For 2 or 3 months, they could busy hearts and minds and all that. And here again, the people took to the streets, and when on the International Quds Day, in those rallies, as you saw that the people came to the streets, and on Ashura Day, they understood what they really say. They understood what they were desiring, what their plots were, in fact. And people, then we had the 9th of Day, the Iranian calendar, and the Iranian people took to the streets, not only in Tehran, but across the country. Millions of people turned out on the 9th of Day, and immediately after that, on the 22nd of Bahman, Iranians took part in rallies, and they put an end to all the unrest. This is Viva the Iranian nation. Viva the Iranian nation, the vigilant Iranian nation, and God willing, by God's grace, the Iranian nation will continue to move on the same path, will continue this path to the end. Fortunately, Thank you very much. Fortunately, this massive popular movement has been fruitful thanks to the reliance that people have placed in the country's authorities, thanks to this popular trust, and thanks to the security established in the country with the help of the people themselves, of course. Iranian officials have been able to render more services, to actually do great achievements. Infrastructural projects have been carried out, of course, and these are the prerequisite to development and progress in the country. Infrastructural projects are the prerequisite to progress and development in the country, and this is being carried out today, and people are witnessing that, and hopefully we will see its results in the short term and the long term. Thanks to this very security, which has been established with the participation of the people, the enemy's security threats are actually thwarted. The enemy's propaganda campaigns are foiled. It is thanks to this popular participation that we are witnessing technical and scientific progress in the country. Today, based on international figures, not local figures, based on international figures, officially it has been announced, the pace of Iran's scientific progress has increased 11 or 12 fold. It is 11 or 12 times more than the average scientific speed of scientific progress in the world. This is what our enemy is telling us. This is what they are announcing. Today, the young Iranian scientists in more than 10 key top-level scientific and technological fields, they have made so much progress that they are among the, they have secured the rankings, the top rankings among the top 10 in the world. This is thanks to the popular participation of the people, thanks to popular trust, this sense of responsibility by the people. The more it continues, the more development the country will make, and this is Imam's path. As for regional issues, I would like to make a few points. First of all, what is going on in North Africa and in our region, they are very important and historic events. What took place in Egypt, Tunisia, this great awakening which has taken place in Islamic nations. This is one of the events, one of those events which may take two or three centuries for such a event to take place. Today, very important and influential and historic events have taken place, have happened. However, the Egyptian nation succeeded, the Tunisian nation succeeded, especially the victory in Egypt, the revolution in Egypt. It was a very brilliant victory. It was a monumental task, we can say. And in some other countries like Libya, Yemen, and the oppressed people in Bahrain, they are engaged in some struggles. They have their own dimensions. In those countries, too, popular actually movements will sooner or later actually emerge victorious when people are awakened, when they feel that they are strong and powerful, when a nation feels powerful enough, nothing can stop it. Of course, the enemies of Muslim nations, that is, the global hegemony, actually the United States, the great Satan, Zionists, actually, they are also working, they're plotting, they would like to stop these victories, they wouldn't like to allow people to taste victory, they are making every effort. However, if we Muslim nations, if we are vigilant, and if we listen to the voice of Quran, which enjoins patience and resistance on us, the Quran gives us patience and hope, actually. Quran gives us hope. If we listen to this Quranic voice, if we believe, trust in God, we pin our hopes on God, we believe in God's promises, and we work towards that, undoubtedly these nations will emerge victorious. Of course, in Libya, the policy adopted by Western governments is that they want to weaken Libya. This is their, they want to make, actually, they want the civil war to continue in Libya, to weaken the country. Then after that, either they will directly or indirectly, they will take helm of the affairs in that sensitive country. Well, first of all, Libya has huge oil resources. Secondly, it is very close, one step close, just to Europe. It is very close to Europe for hegemonic powers, the United States, other hegemonic powers in Western Europe. This is a very important country. They would not, they don't want to actually neglect it. They want to weaken it, okay? If they have offered kind of loan, and all that. Anyway, they wouldn't like to see an Islamic government to come to power in Libya, in Yemen too. Something similar is taking place. Strategically speaking, Yemen is important too. Also in terms of its proximity with countries which are related to America, and also in terms of political geography. In that country, they also wouldn't like to allow people to emerge victorious. This is the policy of the policy of the West in these two countries, is that they want to stop their victories. In Bahrain, people are oppressed. And in that country, they talk about the point that they are Shias, and they want to an ethnic spin on the issue. Of course, Bahraini people, they have been Shias throughout the majority of people there. Shias. However, it is not a Shia-Sunni issue. The question is that this nation is oppressed. They are deprived of their basic rights, basic civic rights, civil rights, and they are deprived of their basic rights. And they have stood up for their rights. That's what they have done. They want to have their right to vote. They want to have a say in the establishment of the government in their country. They want to play a role in that. This is not a crime, is it? This is a legitimate right. However, liar and hypocritical American officials who claim to be supporters of democracy and human rights, they are against the people in Bahrain, and they're acting against the people. Of course, they deny that. They say it's not us. They are Saudis, of course. But Saudis will not act without the green light from Washington. They wouldn't have entered Bahrain without a green light from Washington. And as you saw, they saw those brutal crackdowns and all that. So American officials are to blame too. Please pay attention. I would like to mention a few points, a couple of points. We are short of time. First, The key indicator in these popular movements have three indicators. First, they are Islamic. Second, they are anti-US and anti-Zionist. And third, they are popular. These three features are common in all these countries. The Egyptian nation, which is actually a prominent nation in the Arab world and in the Islamic world, it is a nation which launched this revolution and movement in its own country. This movement is both Islamic and popular, and also it is overtly against the US and Zionists. And the same other countries too. This is one point. Our stance on these popular movements is crystal clear. Wherever there is an anti-US popular Islamic movement, we support it. However, if we see that there is a movement in some country provoked by the US, provoked by Zionists, and we will not support that movement. We support movements which are against the US and against Zionism. Anywhere that the US itself and Zionists themselves are involved, in those occasions that they try to topple a government to occupy a country, well, that is the point where we are in the we are against the movement. The United States does not do something which is in the interest of the nations in the region. Whatever they have done so far has been against the regional nations. This is our stand. The second point, the countries in which we have been witnessing victories, especially Egypt, which is a great country and it enjoys a rich Islamic legacy and heritage. It enjoys a rich cultural and Islamic heritage. They should take care. The enemy has left the country, but it could return. The assistance that they say has been offered by the US to Egypt or any other country that may have been offered by the US, this assistance will turn out to be troublesome, actually, to be a troublemaker itself. Through this assistance and financial help, it is through this assistance that the US tries to strengthen and reinforce its domination on countries and impose its will on other nations, a nation which has gained victory, and the US wants to once again bring it under its own domination and hegemony. Everybody should be vigilant. Of course, the Egyptian nation is vigilant. This massive popular movement in Egypt, in protest at the former Egyptian regime the former regime's stance on Gaza and Palestine and the Rafah crossing, this movement is invaluable and should continue. Egypt is an influential in the Arab world. So that was why those people who wanted to pit Arab countries, those who wanted to actually make Arab countries succumb to Zionists, they went to Egypt and they signed the notorious Camp David Agreement. After the Camp David Agreement was signed by Egypt, other Arab countries, they gave up and they succumbed to the US, and they retreated on the issue of Palestine, and the issue of Palestine was removed from the policy making arena in Arab countries. They are very sensitive about Egypt. After the Jamal Abdel Nasser era, the West, the time when the West had left Egypt, they returned. At that time, this experience should not be repeated in Egypt. The Egyptian people are vigilant, and we hope God Almighty will help them too. The second point is that these crackdowns are a non-starter. They are useless. Nations, finally, when they are awakened and when they have recognized their true power, they will follow the true path, and God willing, the popular movements in the region, whether in the countries in which today we are witnessing revolutions, whether in those countries in which have the potential to launch such movements, all of them will emerge victorious. People in these countries will emerge victorious, but they need to be careful about the divisive plots hatched by the enemy in Tunisia, in Egypt, in North Africa, and in other Islamic countries. Today, the enemies are trying to sow the seeds of discord, especially Islamic Iran, because Iran is the center, the focal point of campaign against global hegemony. They want to sow the seeds of discord. They want to create divisions, religious divisions, ethnic divisions, even inside these countries, in Egypt. There are some of these Wahhabi groups and other groups in Egypt, for example. They're trying to divide people themselves in Egypt under different pretexts. We need to remain vigilant against these efforts to divide people. And our stance on Palestine is crystal clear, too. We do believe that the Palestinian country, Palestinian territories, Palestine belong to the Palestinian people altogether. Those who were trying to remove the map of Palestine from the geographical map, actually, they are really mistaken. Palestine is there, will remain there. They have occupiers have occupied Palestine for a few decades, but undoubtedly, this territory, this land, will return to the Palestinian people, and Palestinian nation is vigilant as well. This will happen, and Palestine cannot be disintegrated. As a whole, the Palestinian territories altogether belong to the Palestinian people, and the solution, and Iran has announced the solution. It has put forward the solution from several years ago, and the solution to the Palestinian question, the U.S. American solutions are not useful. The solution is that a referendum should be held among the Palestinian people. Whatever regime, whatever government they favor, that government should come to power in Palestine, and then later they will make decisions by themselves what to do with these Zionists which have occupied Palestine. That is up to them. It will be up to them. The government, the democratic government, which has come to power, would come to power based on the popular vote in Palestine. And we wish that God Almighty, that all the nations in Palestine, Egypt, Tunisia, all others, we wish God Almighty to help them and may God emerge them victorious. May God offer its blessings on the Iranian nation more and more. May God Almighty actually keep actually the souls of the late Imam Khomeini and martyrs, may give them, actually offer them more and more blessings as well.
And that was a speech by Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the occasion of the 22nd anniversary of the passing of the late Iranian leader, Imam Khomeini. He basically started